is El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
I just talked to a friend of mine in the Washington, D.C. area who said to me, and I quote, it must be getting better because I don't hear stuff crashing anymore. So looking at the weather map that we've got here that Bud Dickman pulled up for us.
Yeah, that shows you right where to. And then the other thing is, see right over here.
I got it, Bud. Thank you.
Yeah, but right here.
I got you. Look where the news is.
What?
Where are you holding the news copy?
In front of your face.
What's it covering up?
The microphone. Sorry.
Give me that. Yes, so you can see if you're watching Phil TV in HD, and even if you're not, we can explain that the eye of this storm, hurricane or tropical storm or superstorm Sandy, which sounds so benign, the name Sandy is like a 1960s surf movie name.
Or it's a Jewish pitcher.
Or it's a Jewish pitcher. Huh?
Yeah, Sandy Koufax.
Oh, whatever. So there's... the eye is through the southern part of Pennsylvania, and it has looks as if it's moved right through the D.C. area. So folks in New York had it bad. Everybody had it bad. D.C., at least Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, those areas, boy. And now it's on up into Pennsylvania. And then there's also a map that we were looking at that showed it showed the precipitation. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it was showing whatever moisture is created. And there's a lot of ice. There's heavy rain, and a lot of it is in North Carolina and parts of Ohio, you know.
But what is the pink is the rain?
The pink color is the rain, and then the grayer it gets is snow. So there's snow and ice that's also accompanying this thing in different parts of the storm affected areas. And so I can't even, you know, I just gonna be very honest with you. I wouldn't live in that for more than 5 seconds.
Sounds good, then.
Yeah, I'd like to buy there. No, it's just, I remember, you know, the first snow, just to show you what kind of a weather virgin I am, and that there is such a thing, because there are people, I was not in my first snowfall. The first snowfall I was ever in, I was 29 years of age.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. 29 years of age. I was up at Big Bear Lake here in California, and it was snowing. It was a winter time. I went up fishing with a couple of friends of mine, and there I stood in the snow. So, and I thought, oh, that's really neat. You know, most people that see snow for the first time, it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? The second time I was in a snowfall, the second, and only the second time I was in a snowfall, it wasn't even in Atlanta when they had that snow jam, because what happened in Atlanta... I think I was asleep when it snowed, so I never really saw it snow. I just woke up, there was snow everywhere in Atlanta, and it was in 93. The second time I saw snow was I was in Minneapolis. I was in my early 40s. I just turned 41. Or, no, I was 40. So that's like 11 years in between those two events. And then it snowed throughout, and since then I haven't been in snow, unless, of course, you count, I went to a Green Bay, Chicago. It didn't even snow that day. So I think that's the last time it ever snowed.
So you say like two times.
Two times. And I lived in it for, you know, a good long time in Minneapolis. Make the long story short, and to get to the point of what it is I'm saying, I found out I don't like it. I don't like it, man. I don't want to live in it. No way. No way.
Well, I think it's very charming. And what about Christmas time? And the love...
You know, let me just say this. There was one time that I was at... I spent a Christmas at a friend's place, and it was snowing, and I remember how beautiful. I remember thinking... But I was very happy, you know? I was happy, and I was with... At the time, I was with a very good company, very nice company, and I could smell the smells of Christmas, and there was...
What's that smell like? Throw up?
Shut up, man. Come on, bud. And if you do that again, man, I'm going to send you rocketing out of this room.
Just joking.
And for some people, yes, the smells of Christmas involve throw up, but not for me. In any event, I remember it was really nice. And,
well, what did you smell?
Well, what do you think you smell at Christmas time?
Reindeer crap.
Never mind.
Oh, Phil, don't be a baby.
Never mind. Forget it.
Come on, man. I want to hear it, Phil.
No, I was just trying to, you know, trying to tell you a thing. It's okay.
Come on, don't be a big baby about it. Just because of Robert said it's funny.
Come on, man, he's going to kick you out.
Reindeer crap. Come on, Phil, you got to admit that was funny.
All right, it was funny. So anyway...
Are you going to finish?
Yes, I'm going to finish. Don't keep bugging me about it or I'll stop.
What a baby.
Okay, that's it. I'm not going to say anything.
Come on, Margaret, why'd you have to do that?
I'm kidding, Phil. Come on.
No, you call me a baby.
Come on, be the grown-up you're always telling us to be.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. Anyway, it was a very beautiful thing, man. That's all I wanted to say. I remember looking outside and I saw the snow on the ground. And, you know, for people that live in snow, what I'm saying doesn't mean anything. But you have to understand, coming from a guy like me, I didn't see snow. I never saw snow. I never saw it till I was 29 years old. I mean, literally. I mean, I saw a little bit of it when we went to Lake Arrowhead when I was a kid. And I remember being like 6 years old or something, and somebody said, look at that. And I go, wow! It's, you know, it was snow. It was laying on the ground. To me, that's a big damn, that was a big thing. And that's the last time I saw that. So... here I was. It was a Christmas, and I said, man, this is really beautiful. Look at that. The street, everything is quiet. To me, I remember thinking that in wintertime when there's snow, it's like, just like they say in the poetry, the earth has gone to sleep, and it's covered in a nice white blanket.
Now you'll throw up in bed.
That wasn't funny, man.
No, it wasn't, and now you're going to get hit.
Come on, wait. Come on.
Yeah, you ran away. Stay out of here, man, unless you want to get belted.
I didn't do anything.
That's right. You didn't do anything. You didn't tell a joke that was funny. Nothing. If it had been funny, stay out. All right. Saltwater put Subway in jeopardy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow. The storm surge driven by remains of Hurricane Sandy sent seawater pouring into at least six underriver tunnels of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's Subway system on Monday night, seriously threatening the goal to quickly restore vital mass transit service in the city. Before Hurricane Sandy made landfall on Monday, the MTA worked to seal off openings that would allow corrosive salt water to sweep into the system and might incapacitate trains into the incoming weekend, or the coming weekend. After the flooding, its extent not yet fully measured, the threat of an extended shutdown loomed over a system that carries 5.5 million passengers a day and is essential to the city's economy. Now, that's interesting. It carries 5.5 million passengers a day, and it just said that 5.5 million passengers were affected by the power outage. Now, why the same number, Margaret? You're a newspaper woman.
Well, that's a very, very good question. That 5.5 million must be the active... I don't know.
Well, I thought there were 8 million people in Manhattan.
Maybe there's only 5.5 million.
Because the number they gave to the people that ride on the subways and the number they gave to the people who are going to be without power is identical. So that's, you know...
Well, Phil, don't start looking for a conspiracy.
No, but I think what I did find was a little bit of lazy reporting, don't you?
Why?
Because! How can it be the same number? Some reporter someplace... just picked the number out of thin air. I don't know whether it was the guy doing the saltwater story or the guy doing the people without power.
Well, I mean, the people without power, okay, think about it. The people without power are the people that live in a house, they don't have a power.
Okay, fine. Who says they all ride the subway?
Well, it stands to reason.
No, it doesn't stand to reason. What do you mean it stands to reason?
What difference does it make?
Well, wait just a second here, man. I mean... If they're just going to play it fast, it's not a big thing, but, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if this is the kind of reporting, I go, oh, well, just throw a number at it, you know. It sounds really good. It's like the guy that I talked to via email. I think we were talking, you know, we were chatting on Facebook something. And the dude says, you know, 60 million people are going to be affected. Well, I mean, now let's just hold on for a second. 60 million people are going to be affected by the storm. In what sense are you talking, okay? Is it going to rain on 60 million people? Is that what you're saying? Are there going to be 60 million people who are going to have a roof torn off? What do you mean by 60 million? You know?
Well, but it's 60 million. What's wrong with that number?
What's wrong with the number is that when you say 60 million related to a story like this, people assume 60 million people are going to have something bad happen to them.
They do, man. They got that hurricane.
That's not necessarily... Wait a minute. If you're sitting in a house... and the windows are banging, and there's a lot of rain. Okay, I guess you could say you're affected. But the way a story like that reads is that the 60 million who are affected are going to... something more is going to happen to them than just the... like, the power's going to be out. Or there's going to be... you know, they won't be able to get to work. Or they won't... you know.
Well, how many people do you think are able to get to work in this storm?
I don't know. I really don't know, and that's a very good question. And I think when you use that kind of panicky reporting...
Oh, man, that's not panicky. That's just, it's a round number.
Yeah, a round number. I love those round numbers, man. The only time they never give you the round number is they don't ever round it up on your paycheck, do you? But they sure as hell do it with the news. And
what's that mean?
You know what I'm talking about, a round number. You know, the whole world was lost for want of a round number.
Shakespeare.
No, Phil Hendry. All right. So in any event, there's 5.5 million people without power, and just coincidentally, there's 5.5 million people that are stranded on the subway system. So the subway system is, quote, in jeopardy. This is a direct quote from the MTA chairman, Joseph Latta. He said this on Monday. Our subway system and salt water, no way do they mix, baby.
No, he said?
No. But I paraphrased. Salt can eat at motors, metal fasteners, and the electronic parts, some many decades old, that keep the system running. See, that's the thing about the subways. And I think that it needs to be said, there's got to be a better way of updating the infrastructure. We have been living in this country for a long time on old everything, old electrical grids, old bridges, old tunnels, old... boy, I'd hate to be in a tunnel when one collapses, you know.
Well, I don't. You're going to start spreading panic, Phil. I mean, what we're not talking about tunnels. We're talking about bridges.
Well, no, we're not talking about tunnels until we're talking about tunnels.
Well, what does that mean?
It means we're not talking about tunnels until one of them collapses. That's what it means. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Right after Phil just scared the living hell out of...
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
We'll be right back.
After Phil scared everybody half to death.
After Phil is going to be back, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. We're looking at shots from around the cities of New York. Baltimore, we are on Phil TV. If you're watching, you can see this is New York City. Look at that, which I take it as the Hudson River. And looking from New Jersey. And you might as well be on the shores of a very choppy ocean. There's also scenes from Ocean City, Maryland. The streets absolutely flooded. Other shots, one of Asbury, New Jersey. And they've got a variety of shots showing the water. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, water is like, it looks like it may be fun until it starts doing. Here is one from South Boston. So we were talking about this extending all the way, obviously, up into Massachusetts. And you can see some pretty choppy conditions on the water. Boston Harbor itself, where there is some kind of a tall ship that's anchored there. I don't know. I guess they got a bunch of those.
Well, they have the whole Boston Tea Party thing.
Well, I don't know whatever that is, but...
You know the Boston Tea Party?
Yes, I know what it is, but I don't know what that big ship was. Anyway, this is Boston. That doesn't look bad. It's just some choppy water. But when you're going down to New York and you're seeing, you know, that the steps are flooded and the wind is blowing like crazy and it's keeping people from going about and doing their duty, their daily duties.
Sounds like going to the bathroom.
Yes, that's what it sounds like, Margaret.
No, it's okay. I've got to go to the toilet.
Why?
Because you're talking about it.
Oh. Anyway, having just talked to my friend there in Maryland who said that the things are not crashing, I can't believe that where they're living, they weren't flooded out of there. They're in a house. They're in the D.C., right in the D.C. metropolitan area, and I haven't heard too much coming from Washington, D.C., so perhaps the actual city itself... The District of Columbia, at least, and the immediate area wasn't as affected as other parts of Maryland, like we were saying, Ocean City and places like that. So anyway, we're also talking about the salt water hitting the subway system, the salt eating at motors, metal fasteners, electronic parts, a lot of them many decades old. And we're talking about the infrastructure. That's what I meant, Margaret. Oh, she's in the bathroom.
Let me go get her. I'll go get her.
No, don't go get her, bud.
Hey! Hey!
What the hell do you want?
Get a bathroom?
No, I'm voting.
She's voting.
She's kidding you, okay?
What an idiot, man. What?
She says she's voting. She's kidding. She's in the bathroom.
Oh.
She's voting.
Woo-hoo!
God, just like that lady.
Anyway, the MTA closed down its entire regional network of rails and buses Sunday evening and expected it will remain dark at least until Wednesday. Agency officials couldn't say how quickly the subway could be brought back into operation. Boy, that's a lot of people who ride that subway. And I would recommend, once they get it back up and running, if you visit New York, you should go on a subway. Here's two good reasons. Number one, it's the best way to get around. Number two, if you've never been to New York before and you want to immerse yourself in the city life and the culture and not feel like such a tourista, get on the subway and ride around for a few hours. You're going to be fine. Nobody's going to hurt you. There's people that are just commuting. They're just going to and from. That's it. It's not. There's nothing to be afraid of. And when you do that, you feel a little bit more like you're part of the city, and you feel a little more like, hey, you know, I just took the subway. Now I think I'll go up and get a piece of pizza or something. You know.
Yeah, kind of like you're born and raised there or something.
Well, not quite, but you know, you feel like you're a little bit more a part of the New York experience. That's what I would do.
Frank and I loved when we first went to New York when we were married. Now, of course, I'd been and Frank had been there, but we went together, and we had the greatest time taking one of the tour buses.
What? That's gay.
Well, Bud, I'm not even going to comment, all right?
I had to clean up your puke.
Yeah, like you already pulled in that little check, so go ahead.
What?
As I was saying, we love to take the tour bus. We get right on the very top, and we love to listen to the tour guide tell us all about the different things. You know?
Like what?
What do you mean, like what? Like the things you see.
Well, I mean, what does he tell you about?
Well, I mean, you drive in the tour bus, and the man who's the tour guide, and he has a microphone.
Yeah, I've seen that. A lot of time they have a bullhorn, too.
Well, I think... Excuse me. I'm sorry.
All right, that's it.
Oh, come on, Phil. Oh, Phil. It was Chinese noodles.
Get out of here, Chinese noodles.
Damn, Margaret, if I'd have done that, you'd have Phil have me fired.
I don't give a sweetie.
You going back in the bathroom?
Yes.
Why?
To throw up after all of that I've been put through.
It's unbelievable. Margaret's one of these women who...
I can hear you talking about me.
I don't care. She's one of these people who will commit every abomination under the sun, and then if you do anything even one-tenth as bad, she's all over you like stink on crap.
That's the truth.
You know, she belches. She's using the bathroom. She doesn't flush. She this, she that. And then the next thing you know, there's Margaret, and she's ripping into you.
That's what you sound like.
Are you out of the bathroom yet?
No.
So, in any event, that is life with Margaret. Okay, so I think we're up to... Do you think we're up to speed?
Yeah, about the storm?
Yeah, I think we're up to speed. I think we got everybody. They know what's up, and we know what's up. I already told my bomber story, which I thought was kind of cool. I don't think it's cool that a guy was bombing people...
Have any toilet paper?
What?
You don't have toilet paper.
I'll get it.
All right, and leave it at the door. I don't want you barging in here. What are you laughing at?
You can hear me laughing, huh?
I leave the door slightly ajar so I know what's going on.
I wondered why I could hear the toilet so loud, you know.
I swing the door open so you can hear it flush, and then I close it slightly.
You swing it open so I can... Why do I need to hear it flush?
Weren't you saying that the pipes were jammed?
No, I was not saying the pipes were jammed.
Well, who was using the... You said someone was using the plunger.
I was talking about the mad bomber put a bomb in a toilet in New York in 1956, and it blew up while a guy was using the plunger.
Oh.
Oh, man. That's... Yeah, you weren't too far off with that one.
Grow up.
No, you grow up. I can't believe I'm talking to somebody through a half-open door, but if she flushes, well, she swings the door open real wide because she wants to know whether I... Look at this!
Aren't you glad? I would think you'd be happy.
Yes, I'm ecstatic, Margaret. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me hear my own toilet flush. That's great. That's great.
I think you'd be happy about it.
Yes, I'm very happy. That's great. Thank you very much. Is it worthy... Look at this. Now I'm in the middle of a break. Okay, so I've just butchered a whole...
Ladies and gentlemen, you gotta lay down, Phil. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on a Phil Henry Show.
I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Let me do it, Phil. Ladies and gentlemen,
get out of there, will you? Don't ever... We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show right after this.
We'll be back on the Phil Hendry... I'll do it again. I'm not trying to butt it. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show right after this. Let me go. Call in if you can't hear this. Well, I guess they wouldn't call... But they call in...
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. I got a picture here, and again, if you got Phil TV, you can see this. I ran outside on Saturday night. Because the weather, you know, it's, and I'm not trying to rub this in, it's just, it's weird how things work. But this is a picture from the El Pacifico where we do our show, and I ran out to the beach as the sun had gone down. And that little light, by the way, in the middle, and I got another little grousy comment from some schlub on Facebook. He was all, yeah, nice picture of the freaking oil rig. You know what, dude, why don't you go ahead and, why don't you run on home to your mama? Anyway... That, there's a light right there in the middle. That is an oil rig, and it looks beautiful to me. I love that oil rig. But look at that sunset, man. And the that is the those are the Channel Islands, Anacapa, Santa Rosa, and so I'm looking across the channel at those islands. That was our night sky as the sun set Saturday night, and I'm finding, you know, all of a sudden all this hell is hitting in on the East Coast, right? And Saturday was sweet. I mean, it was nice. It was amazing. It was hotter than hell in L.A., like 90. But coming up the coast here, I don't think it was more than like in the 70s or something.
Oh, you got it just so tough here.
Well, hey, you know, Margaret, I mean, you and Frank are... Frank's caked out.
What does that mean, caked out?
Beach, he's got a lot of money.
Oh, he's going to blow his money on what, buying a beach? I don't think so.
Oh, well, isn't that just too bad? I guess you're just going to have to sweat it out up there in Santa Monica, Beverly Hills.
You know, Phil, we don't have an attitude about it.
All right, good. Don't be bitching at me. You know, I'm just...
Well, you were talking about how far away from town you live.
I do. I live a long way away. I live an hour away on the freeway from L.A., and it pisses me off sometimes because I should be living closer, and I'm not going to get into why. And
I know why. It's on account of your divorce.
Shut up, man.
That's no nobody's business, man. Sorry.
Don't be talking about stuff that's none of your business. You know what? I'm not grousing at my ex. No, 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 no. Okay? Things are what things are. Okay? I'm just saying. You know, it sucks. And that's just the way that that is. Okay. In other parts of the news, I mean, are we done talking about this storm?
I think, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Because I am. I'm all through talking about the storm. What else is there? There's the presidential election. There is the...
That's boring.
That's boring, huh? All right. Then there's the presidential election. There is, let's see, Alex Smith lacks confidence, just gobble, gobble turkey to Jim Harbaugh. What is this? Oh, it's the football. Did you guys watch any football?
I didn't.
Well, I do know that the Milwaukee Lions played today in the Hillbilly Football Conference. That game will be available for download tomorrow. The Lions took on the Portland Logs at home at Duckworth Memorial there in Milwaukee, where I don't think there was any bad weather. And so, again, that'll be available for download. Also, we have our free, the Phil Hendry podcast, which is available to you on iTunes. If you want to listen to parts of our archives, sort of a greatest hits of our archives, you can check that out on iTunes. And that is a sweet thing as well. Episode 61 has been loaded up there. But if all else fails, get yourself a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, which has close to 5,000 hours of great material. We also have our daily video casts that are archived. We have our daily show logs and our news feed and the podcast of the show. It just goes on and on and on and on. You can get it all over there at philhendryshow.com, which is the online headquarters of our radio show. And additionally to that, you can access the free podcast by way of the banner on our website there. So you can check that out or go on over to, as I say, what is it?
iTunes.
iTunes. All right. That's it. That's all I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about anything else.
But I got...
No, actually, we got Raj Fanin hanging on the line, and let's bring him on now because Raj is a longtime friend of our radio show. Raj, I wanted to talk to you a little bit I wanted to talk to you just a little bit, Raj, here about the situation in the Middle East and Syria and not only Syria, but Lebanon and Israel and all of these other things and, you know, stuff that obviously we've talked to you about before. And how you see things shaping up over there. The United States out of Iraq, the United States pulling out of Afghanistan, Israel, Iran.
Well, you know, Phil, this is a difficult question because, you know, this bastard, and I know you don't want me to say bastard, I don't mean the bastard, but I live in this country, I live in America, you know, it's a good country, and the place that for me has been a good place to live, and it's difficult for me to say, you know, because I don't want to say anything that is going to offend. Or,
but just give us your honest opinion.
Well, my honest opinion is that you know that there's more difficult time to come in the Middle East, and I think America needs to more than ever before. I think this America needs to stay away from the Middle East, you know, and I don't mean a. I don't mean that in terms of diplomacy, you know, but I think military, you know.
Well, I think the American people probably agree with you. I think we've had enough of military, our military option in the Middle East. You know, there are differences of opinions in this country as to whether that was effective or not. I happen to think it was. There are many Americans that don't think it was. That's just the way it's going to have to be. But as going forward, there's, I think there's probably a consensus that we don't want to if we don't have to.
But you say think America has been successful, as you say?
Yeah, I do. I think that for the most part, America's military option that was exercised in the Middle East following 9/11, the result of, I think, decades of allowing terrorists, the terrorist bases, terrorist individuals, terrorist-friendly governments to sit and to just sort of, you know, immerse themselves and marinate themselves in their own bullcrap and poison. I think after decades of that, following 9/11, something had to be done. And guess what? Iraq got it.
You know, the reason why I say that is because I've not had, for me, I've not had the temerity or the courage, if you want to say, I've not had the intestinal fortitude to say what I wanted to say about Iraq, you know. But the more I speak to people about this Iraq war and I look going forward, you know, the more I'm convinced that my instinct was that I said I was against the Iraq war, but I was more for it, you know. My son Todd, he says that I really fought Iraq because of the, I hated the neighborhood architecture, you know.
And you were in favor of the Iraq war or against it? I thought you were against it.
I know. I said I was against, but after talking and speaking and listening and you know, living in America, it's a free society. You know what? It's in favor of. But I was in favor of Iraq because it reminded me of places I grew up in Egypt, you know, Alexandria, the different neighborhood. It reminded me of these old houses, the old clay houses, you know. It reminded me of the old bazaar, you know. It reminded me of this frankly, a not good memory. Yeah, I thought my son says it was something I wanted to obliterate, you know, from my mind.
And you wanted to obliterate the memory of Egypt?
But yes. And Iraq, in so many ways, reminded me of Egypt, you know. And so when the bombs fell on Iraq, I said to myself, I could not believe that I said it, but I look and I say, I God help me. If we still don't think I didn't know anything.
And what was it?
Yeah. Yeah, my son, Todd.
That's your son, Todd, who was born in America. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
And your son, Todd, born in America, still speaks Arabic.
He speaks Arabic, yes. Todd, you know how to speak English. He does not want to speak English here at home. He wants to speak Arabic at home. It's my son, Todd, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, my son, Todd, says to me, the movie Patton, you know, God help me, I love it. God help me, I love it, you know. And
but it was in the George C. Scott's line in the movie Patton, I love it, God help me, I love it so.
Yes, and when I see the bomb, drop on Iraq. I don't want to love because that's the Middle East, America dropping bombs in the Middle East, but I do want to love it because the home, they remind me of the garbage pit house that I was raised in as a boy, and I want to obliterate it from my mind, you know. So I see it, and I sat and I looked at the news and thought, you were with me. And I said, God help me, I love that soul. Yeah. God help me, I love it so.
So when you saw the bombs and the shock and the awe in the initial stages?
Not just the initial stage, but the whole war. So
you were sitting there loving it.
I loved it. I loved it. And so in the Middle East today, that was Iraq. Now let's talk about Middle East today. But I look at Syria, I look at Lebanon, and I see Turkey engage Syria. I hope Turkey beats Syria in war. I hope Turkey goes to war in Syria and beats, and God help me, I love that song. Yes.
Well, I mean, let's slow down here, because when you say that, I'm afraid my audience is going to think you'd like to see a loss of life.
No, it's not a loss of life. I want to see this dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, rat hole houses that cheap, put up yesterday, fall down tomorrow, garbage can, cheesy motel looking, cheap ass. I'm sorry, Phil.
It sounds to me like you got a problem with architecture. Is that it?
Yeah. When I look at Syria, I look at the same as Syria, Iraq. The same kind of building material, same kind of building design. I think they use the same term, you know.
Well, what's the problem here? See, because what I'm hearing you say here, Raj, is that you, the Middle East, get out America.
No, not get out America, but not military.
I understand. You don't want the American military. You want American diplomacy, but you love the idea of a war breaking out between Turkey and Syria so that Turkey can smash all the bad architecture in Syria. Is that it?
Well, I know it sounds stupid that way, you know.
Why are you asking your son?
That's my son, hold on. Yeah, my son, Todd, he says, and this is, I agree, because he says this. He says, well, you've smashed the architecture, you smashed the architecture of the power, and you smashed the architecture of the poor, and you have to rebuild. And you must rebuild in a new world, with a new man. A new man, not built out of order, but out of disorder, you see. Yes, this is an anarchist. This is the anarchist creed. I want to see a new man born out of disorder.
I don't know what you're talking about, okay? And your son, I don't think your son knows either.
You don't want to know what he just said, you know?
Well, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to know what he just said, because your son's a little precocious for me. All right, so what? This is the first pro-war Middle Easterner I've ever... You're from Egypt. What about Egypt?
What about Egypt?
Well, what do you want to see happen there?
I mean, Egypt is a toilet. Egypt is a toilet, okay? And this new prime minister, you know, he's not making it. He's not going to get it done. He's not going to make it. He's no good. And this Muslim Brotherhood, they're no good, okay? So they're going to have to pick a cabinet. And let me tell you something. This is America can help, you know? And
America's not going to get into bed with anybody in Egypt that isn't going to be, you know, playing ball here, man. We've had it with these dictators. Forget it. I ain't going to be supporting it. As this American citizen, if I see anything in Egypt returning to that Mubarak or any of that jazz, any of these guys like Assad or the rest of them, I will not. This is one voter that will not support it.
Well, you vote for that Romney, that's what's going to happen. Because Romney, he's going to get into bed, you know. Todd, grab the phone. Todd says that Romney will get into bed with every swing and you know what. Yeah, Romney, would you know what a bush if he thought a snake was in it?
Well, your son's got some real pointed and obscene opinions, doesn't he?
Well, the kid knows what he's talking about.
You know what a bush if he thought a snake was in it.
Right.
All right, Raj, thanks a lot. Best of the family.
You too, Phil. And also...
Get him out of here. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what he just said. Something about bombing the architecture in the Middle East to smithereens, and that his son is anti-Romney, his 8-year-old Arabic-speaking, born-in-America son. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
True. He's our bitch.
Oh,
the Phil Hendry Show.
Shut up.
I
said to shut up. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil TV in HD. We're looking at our Doppler weather map, so we were trying to get off the subject of weather and move it on into the Middle East. We had Todd and his father, Raj, and all they could talk about was bombing all the bad architecture into oblivion, so that was...
That is stupid!
Okay, fine, I took a shot. Anyway, looking at the radar weather, now, as I said, I talked to friends in Washington, D.C. about 20 minutes ago, and the quote that I relayed to you, things have stopped crashing, so we figure it's okay. Now, you can see, if you don't, just follow along here, the eye of this thing, we can see, has passed through Maryland. It looks to be like close to the southern tip here of Pennsylvania. But that's where the eye of hurricane, tropical storm, superstorm Sandy has gone. Look at the cloud. There's this intense dark green over Maryland and what looks like, you know, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, northern Virginia. And that's where these clouds seem to be just swirling. So we talk about New York. New York has actually got hit by that kind of, the outer wave of the thing, shoving all that water. I mean, you can see how it would shove water right up into New York Harbor. But the fact is, the skies are clearing over much of New York right now, from what we can see. The other thing that's going on here is they were talking about 3 feet of snow in West Virginia.
Yes, and right there you can see, Phil, the gray and the very nice pink. And, oh, look at that. There's a gray and a pink.
Yeah, how do they do that?
I don't know. It's,
can we get to the weather part of this?
What?
Oh, the gray and the pink. I mean, I don't care.
Dude, look at it, the color.
Who cares about the color? I'm talking about
Yeah, what are you talking about, Phil?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Phil?
How'd you like me to belt you just because, I feel like it right now? Not for anything you've done wrong, just because I want to hit you.
No.
Okay. What I'm talking about is that West Virginia is covered with snow. Big deal. I mean...
You see?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, see all the time you waste talking about West Virginia? First of all, West Virginia's a good place.
You know, we ought to get Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the line. Why are we screwing around?
Well, who are they? Oh, not those two. Phil, please.
No, I think, yes. I think I want to get Kurt. Robert, you do the honors, okay?
What about me?
I don't trust you.
Yeah, I'll get them up.
So we're going to get Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the phone here to find out exactly how things are hanging in their neck of the woods and see if we've got any other news to report. I'm not sure. There has been reports of, as we told you, there were reports of some fatalities, and that's never, ever good. From Charleston, West Virginia, is that them? Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? Hanging in here, and I'm so glad to be on your program tonight. We're hoping you call up. I was just talking about you.
Is Guy there?
Right now, Guy's not. I'm going to get him on the other line, though. I'm at home right now, and you can tell we've got not a very good, clear signal.
Now, how's the weather been?
Well, I expect you understand, because I heard you say that we're going to get some snowfall, and there will be a snowfall here very, very shortly, I'm sure of that. Get Guy Barton on the other line. Phil, we've had a very, very difficult day, but it looks as if it's going to end good, at least for the people here in the Mountaineer State. You're right about the snow, but I can tell you this, I'll take the snow anytime. Over a hurricane. Now, let me get on the phone. Hello, Guy?
Yeah, Guy Bob.
Hey, Guy, it's, listen, I've got on the line here, Phil Hendry, it's Kurt.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to know how you guys are doing there.
I can't complain. I've been better laying down. I'm looking at that Jimmy Kimmel.
No, I was going to look at, what you got on?
I don't know yet. I'm going to look at Kimmel.
You were doing what?
I'm looking at Jimmy Kimmel and some other things, too.
Well, Mr. Henry called up, wanted to know how we're doing.
We're doing fine. I'm doing fine. That weather downstate, too.
Yeah, I heard the weather in Maryland and all through in Virginia, too. You guys look like you're getting snow.
Get snow?
Yeah, Phil, looking at the weather outside, what does it look like where you are?
Well, let's take a look here. I got a call over my wife. My wife's dead asleep. I don't want to wake up.
Well, don't wake your wife up.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I look like I've got snow. Yeah, coming down pretty good now. But I'm looking at Jimmy Kimmel and that, what do you think of that Trojan Twist? Did you get that?
Oh, I don't know. I got Trojan Twister or not.
I just seen another ad for that thing.
All right, I'll let you go then. So there's nothing going on, huh?
Nah, there ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing going on.
Yeah, I got another. I'm in the office still, Phil, but I'm gonna head out here in a little bit, and I'll tell you what.
Just drive careful.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. I'm gonna drive careful, and I'll try to give you a call later on, and I'll try to.
All right, we got it. Right, thanks very much, folks. The show's been produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. I'm sorry we had to just split real fast there because we're out of time. Thank you, Kurt Quede and Guy Barton, for, updating us on, and I don't want the American flag flying behind me right now, bud. Thank you very much for updating us on the situation there in West Virginia. I think the only thing that was going on was a guy was watching Jimmy Kimmel. Don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com and join us again tonight for more of the Phil Hendry Show. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.